Okay, I'll start with a few introductions, even though Rav Shlomo doesn't need introductions. But for those who don't know, from coming from America, Rav Shlomo studied in both Merkat and Har Tzion, in both yeshivot. Then was Rosh Yeshiva in Ramat Galan, and then now in Petah Tikva, and is now seen as one of the major Rosh Yeshiva of the new yeshivot coming to be, or the new generation of yeshivot. And beyond that, I'll let him speak for himself.
The truth is, I don't know where to start with. I'll start with my lousy English, and you'll forgive me, and if I'll say all kind of strange things, so you must understand it's the English. It's not the logic things that I want to say. I'll start with the what I learned in the last 4 years from working on the website, and then you can ask all kind of questions, and we'll see how to develop our meeting. I'll explain. 4 years ago, I was asked about from someone that has a website asked me to be one of the posting that are giving answers on the website for internet questions, you know, Ask the Rabbi website. I agreed, I thought it will be 3 or 4 questions a week, so therefore I have the time and I have the, and it's, as a Rosh Yeshiva, I was really happy to go back to Psak Halacha, to not only to teach what all the sources and all, you know, all the ideas, but to give a psak the bottom line. The third question I got was the following. I'm a Haredi girl. I was abused by my father from age 14 to 19. He decided to find the best chosan for me, and he took me to a doctor. The chosan will not know anything, and he found the best chosan I can. He could find lovely guy. We're going to marry in 3 weeks. Must I tell him my history? I will not go to a policeman. I will not go to a social work. Then I understood the hole that I fell into, and the situation. Because the internet has 3 advantages. The first thing is questions are sending by anonymous emails. I don't know. I know the history. I know the profile of someone that asked 50 questions. I know the profile. But I don't know. It can be my son. It can be my neighbor. I really don't know. I can't recognize him. I can't identify him. But the fact that the questions are anonymous are exploring a new world, because I didn't know where people are. What are they? Problems, what are the things that they wanted to speak with a rabbi, but they didn't have a chance, or didn't have an opportunity, or didn't have the ability, because they didn't want anybody to know who they are. The second thing is that the internet is available. You can ask, it's not online. You can ask wherever you want, whenever you want, and also the rabbi has time to answer. It's not like a phone call. I can get some advice, I can look for other sources, I can call my rabbis, I can send this question. It's something that I can't answer by myself, to other position and to a different rabbi. And the third thing is that answers must be very, very short. That's the internet language. The questions are short and the answer must be to the point. We can't write all kinds of large, we don't have the time for it, and we don't have, also the people that ask the questions are not patient to read a very long page or answer. They must be very short. And as I said before, the new world, I really felt like exploring a new world, really completely. And what I discovered was that, I'll start with the numbers. Approximately, there are a few websites in Hebrew, but there are two main websites. One is Moreshet, M-O-R-E-S-H-E-T, .co.il, and this is the website I work, it's most of the questions come from students and adulteries, a few questions from youth, 5% approximately from Haredim women, that this is the only way they can ask questions, not through their husbands, but they don't attitude towards us as rabbis. You know, they write the following: I know you're not a rabbi, and you know I'm, but I want to get some advice or something like this, whatever. Approximately less than 5% from Balei Tshuva, that this is their way to connect to rabbi, but also they're very less than 5%, because most of the Balei Tshuva in Israel don't come to the Zionist religious movement. They tell themselves, if we are already becoming Balei Tshuva, we better be the real Datim and go to the Haredi group. And it's very interesting. By the hand, I want to say that today Israel is suffering from the second generation, that their kids, their reaction is to become secular and anti-religious. And it's very interesting to understand the process, but it's not my business, and I'm not talking about that now. The numbers in these two websites are approximately in 4 years, 150,000 shelot. Personally, I answered approximately more than 20,000 of them. It's this morning, you know, I'm on vacation. I came here and I was a guest with a family that don't have a Hebrew font, so I couldn't answer the questions, but I saw what's waiting for me when I'm coming home, so I better stay here. And what is more important, that the answer is delivered to two emails. The first one, the person, the private email from that the question was sent from. The second one is the website. They are advertised on the website, but approximately 3,000 of the tshuvot are not advertised for all kind of reasons. Most of them because they're too, it's against mute to advertise them. That means that 3,000 out of 20, let's say 2,000 out of 20,000 answers are questions that it was the only track and the only way that people could connect with rabbis and ask the questions. Now, I want to describe the situation, you know. I want to describe the rabbi, right? I want to introduce what does such a thing what influence that it has on the rabbi's work and understanding the situation. I would emphasize three points and then we'll open to dialogue. The first thing, I now understand the situation. I'm ashamed that 4 years ago I didn't know who is the society, to whom am I speaking. Usually rabbis speak to the people they know, and the people they know the outside of the people, and they think and they feel that they're talking to the high level, to the people that come to shiurim, to the people that are asking questions, and we think this is the norm. And there are a few Michiganists that are in a very, very low level, or a few Michiganists that have problems or whatever. The situation is much more complicated. People in the period of time we live now is really so very confused, have a lot of questions, a lot of disability to find themselves in the world. There are questions in halakha. I'll give you a very, small example, but that is not connected, completely not connected to what we spoke about it. It's a question from a 15 years old boy that was accepted to a football professional team, right? And he convinced all the secular players to play on Friday. And he got the permission from the authorities that their group, he was the only one that was religious, only one that will play the only team that will play on Friday, and every other team should come on Friday and play with them. All right? So he was very good in football. Not soccer. Soccer, not football. When I say football, I mean soccer. And the right football. And he was the front player. He was the best forward. One forward player, and he stood in front of the opportunity, one kick, and his team is winning. All right, but his yarmulke flew, and now he debated if to stop, run to pick up his kippah, and to lose the game, or to continue. And it's a very, very deep question, because it's kippah is not so important, but it's a chilul Hashem from his point of view. But he felt that the group was so beset with him that they transferred all the games to Friday, and he'll now be unfair if he will not win the game. And he was all these are questions that I can't say that very, very everyone asks them, but they're a new world. I really discovered a new world, and the world much better, but it because you are there. The influence that it had on me was, I think, I'm much more modest, I'm much more, I don't think I know the whole world, and I don't think I know everything. And this is the first thing, I think it's one of the good things that happened to every rabbi that works on the internet. There's someone that is writing his PhD now on the Tshuvot on the internet, and he asked me if it will be right to say that we were very extreme in the beginning and became much more, I don't know what's the word, we call it in Hebrew, agulim. Much more, less with edges, with sharp edges, much more, what would be the word, I don't know, all right? And I think he was right. That's the first thing. The second thing is that today a rabbi, when he works on the internet, his authority is really very reduced, because first of all, I see that the same question is being sent to other rabbis. I can't check every time. And someone that asks, even though it's against the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, we spoke about Avodah Zarah, Shechacham she'asar shuv mechaveru rashai le'atir, but nobody, that's maybe the problem of the Chachacham. But the audience, I don't know if they know this Gemara, and if they knew, they probably were violating this Gemara, and people get different answers. More than that, they copy and paste the answer in a form, and I see all kinds of people dealing with these questions. The funniest example is, I got a very nice shela.
How many hours a day do you currently spend on the internet?
2.5 hours. I get up at least 2.5 hours. And I'll explain why. It was a very interesting question. In Gush Katif, there's a very special agriculture to grow lettuce without bugs. Right?
Hydroponics.
What?
Hydroponics.
Okay. But the problem is that they use a lot of poison, a lot of resource. How do you say it?
Yes.
All right, you said it. And someone asked me the following question: what is the halacha opinion of being machmir, not eating bugs, but destroying the environment? And that's a real, real, real question. And I answered, and then I saw that someone copied it to in a Greenpeace, form, and bruises. From an Arabs and Christian from the whole world deal with the halachic question. You understand? And people read it and write it and deal with it and etc. And I'm always criticized. And the internet, there a few. First of all, everybody that thinks that I was talking wrong, immediately sending his response. I give you a very, very extreme or very, hardcore, I call them, responders are the few Haredim that they are really secular. They are great Talmidei Chachamim that inside they're secular, but they didn't want to leave the society, they didn't want to get divorced, they have children. Great Talmidei Chachamim. They sit day and night, you know, day and night on the, in the internet. Now, they say that even if a Jew assimilates, he can't stop spitting near a church, so they can't stop criticizing Zionist religious rabbis. And they're searching every answer I write. If I make a mistake, you know, and there's a somewhere a Chafetz Chaim that wrote the opposite, or Tshuvat Chatam Sofer, they know everything. They're really great Talmidei Chachamim. Shoot, I get it immediately as a response. And and people read it. Other people can read it, all right? So it, I must be much more, as I said before, modest, but much more, no, I can't say Asur or Mutar, because we lack have any influence and nobody will keep it. I have to bring my sources, at least the Nimuk. I don't have time to write, see, Chatam Sofer, Shoot Tzadikei, this paragraph. But the idea of that is behind my Tshuvot. And again, I feel today that a rabbi, his work is in a different, completely different circumstances and environment than my rabbis worked. They worked as authorizers. They worked when they said it's asur, it was the only answer we could have gone, and mutar is the same thing. Today the situation is completely different, and I see, you know, that really, even if we deal with a very, very sensitive point of halacha that I, you know, write very, very carefully, I see it later on, even if I didn't write anything about it, someone else wrote about it, and everybody's dealing with it. So halacha became something that is much less authorized and much more convincing people and encouraging people to explaining, and you can't force anymore about halacha, and that's a new environment that we have to know how to work, how to do things. The third thing is, and that's the beginning, if, as I said before, we'll open a dialogue. The third thing that had influence on my position was the fact that there is a new instrument to be the following. The kehila, the congregation, is different. I don't know who they are. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I have a kehila, a congregation. It's not like here. It's by the way. In Israel, I think there are maybe four rabbis that are full-time job employed in a kehila, in a congregation. I'm not sure there are four. Maybe there are two. Most of the kehilot didn't have rabbis 10 years ago. Now there is a process of employing rabbis, but by the way, you know, it's a part-time is much more than they do, yeah? Less than part-time, okay? So people need a rab, all right? So it's a virtual congregation. People, so I don't know who they are. I must be careful that my words will be understood exactly like I wanted them to be. I must answer to response. That takes time. And people are, we are building a different identity of a congregation, etc. I must admit, and that's my final opening, I must admit that the idea of the virtual rabbi is criticized in Israel. I must admit, and I'm one of the big criticized people. So we must understand that it's part of the solution. It's not the ultimate way that rabbis can have connection with people. It has their advantages, it has the disadvantages, There are many problems because the answers are very short. We don't know exactly who is reading them, what will be the influence and what will be the process that those questions will create. We really don't know a lot of things. It's only 4 years. It's right that 4 years in internet time is like I don't know, a decade, more than a decade. But 4 years is not. We don't have enough experience. But one thing we can say that the idea of multicultural environment that the halacha was approximately out of it, even though there was elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim in machlokot, but there was a mainstream, very, very identified mainstream. This fact is, at least in Israel, doesn't exist anymore. And I assume that two things will happen, and now I'm talking about the future. The first thing will be that I don't want to speak about power, but the decisions will be transferred from the rabbi to the congregation or to the personality and the goodwill and the motivation of our kihilot or our students. And we spoke about it in the Orthodox form, that it's completely different. Even today, when I see my job as a Rosh Yeshiva, if you had asked me 20 years ago, I would have said one of my missions is to try to force, or at least to design the right alternative way that someone should be doing. Today, if I'll try to answer what is my main mission, I'll say it in Hebrew. My main mission is le'amid et ha'bachur al ha'raglayim shelo. He had to
make him stand
on his own 2 feet, because I understand that my ability is much more limited. And really, people, if the halacha was built on all kinds of gzerot and takanot and siyagim, that the sages were responsible that people would not come to a failure, the situation today is completely different. But I think that when you come to the point, or your children will come to the point, I think we may stand today in there may be a completely relation or retaliation. I mean, retaliation to the other side. There are signs that people will get so confused and so mixed and so feeling that they can't anymore with this controversial and complex, and they'll search after a fundamentalistic, extreme, stability, one-way street. And we see signs of it. We see signs that some of our children, a very low percentage, but it's very interesting to see it, said we don't want any more, not multi halakha and not multi-culture and not multi-whatever. We want someone that is strong, someone that is not debating, that is not struggling, that is not anything. Someone that says, this is the way, and we will follow him. You can see it today in Israel, in a few yeshivot, in a few movements, but nobody knows if this will be the majority. It may be a very small minority, but I think history the conclusion from history is that there is a back and forth movement, and maybe we'll find ourselves in a completely different world in 20 years, 30 years, but the situation now is, I think, more close to what I described than to fundamentalistic ideas, etc. That's my short review, and if someone...
I guess prerogative, okay. Asking the first few questions, just put some of your ideas on the table. You write about different shitot within halakha, that today we need both Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Nachman and Breslov, both the Rugged Shaver and Harav Cook. You write about the balance in halakha and agadah. You want to talk more about those positions of yours and how it plays a role within
It's a great issue. I'll say two points, and if you want to develop them. The first thing is, in Israel, we have a deep problem that the real big questions of halakha that deal with the tzibur, with the state, we don't have any sources and any tradition dealing with them. We don't have. I'll give you two examples. First of all is war crime. Let's say a terrorist is hiding with residents, and to kill him, other people will get wounded. Morality questions, we don't have any sources. Because the last time there was an independent state was 2,200 years ago. Hashmonaim. That's the last time. And this is a very, very small... You know what? Go back to the question about the environment and bugs. This is not a question that we have any tradition. Because environment, you have in Baba Basra, Perek Sheni, a few things about environment, or Lo Tashchit Et Etza, the Minchat Chinuch about, but these are not sources that are heavy enough. You know, if you are allowed to put the schnitzel directly on the Shabbos platter, on Shabbos, you can have, I think you can write an encyclopedia. But these questions, we don't have answers. Now, we ought to decide if the Tanakh and Midrashim and the stories in Nevi'im are capable as sources of halakha. I'll give you a very good example. Let's go 20 years ago, the peace agreement between Israel and Egypt was signed in 79. And the obligation of Israel was to evacuate all Yamit and the Gaza, the southern Gaza Strip until 82, right? Now, between 79 and 82, the president of Egypt was murdered. He was assassinated during a parade celebrating the victory on Israel, and it was on the 5th of October, he was assassinated by extreme Muslim fundamentalistic terrorists. All right? So then a movement was founded in Israel. The title was La'atzor et ha'nesiga b'Sinai, Stop the Withdrawal in Sinai. And the reason was because we don't know who will be the new president and they are violating the agreement, etc., etc. All right? So a very non-scholar got up and said, listen, it's against Tanakh. It's against Tanakh. Because if you know the end of Shmuel, the Giv'onim, they'll sit in peace and quiet. And Shaul killed the Giv'onim. We don't know exactly when. And Hashem, there was a Ra'av, famine. And Hashem told David HaMelech, it's because Shaul killed the Givonim, and the Gemara asks, and Shaul and David HaMelech gave, I think, seven of Shaul's children, Zerah, and the Givonim killed them. All right. So the Gemara in Yevamot Ein Tet asks, "V'achti ve'lo yomtu al avot al banim ve'lo yomtu banim al avotam." All right. And the answer is very, very extreme. Mutav sheteaker ot achat min haTorah. It's better than one ot from the Torah will be erased. And velo yitchalel shem shamayim b'pareis. It's a chilul Hashem. Can that be a source to pasken that we are not allowed to violate the peace agreement with Egypt? Now, if you'll say yes, it's very interesting. If you say no, we don't have any other sources to deal with these questions. All right. So this is one effect of the question of Bible. It's not combining halakha and agadah. It's first of all using Tanakh and Midrash and Agadah as sources that at least give the direction of dealing with the entire questions of
Ezra. So once you get the kivun, then what do you do?
Okay, then you have the kivun. I don't know, it's not a psak, but get the kivun. Kivun is a lot. Kivun is a lot. You must admit it's a lot. Now, the second thing is it's not connected, but the second thing is, I think that the gap we put between halakha and agadah is wrong. It's wrong historical. It's right that Rishoni Sfarad wrote that you shouldn't put agadah and halakha together, but if you search after the shooting, you see constantly they pass in halakha and even very extreme halakha with agadah sources. You see that Rabbeinu Gershom Aror Golah, there were a few studies that were written about it. He paskan with Agadah, and many of the, you know, the Jewish idea, like we live according to, are much more Agadah than Halakha. And I think we should at least deal with the question and have much more influence of Agadah in Halakha. I'll give you all right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a very good example.
It's a Ram Wider.
That's a very good example. Very, very good example. Or Misirut Nefesh al Talmud Torah, Rabbi Akiva, many, many other sources. And it's a very good example. Yes, I think the Shalosh HaShavuot was a very, very attractive and very, very intensive source for decades. And our centuries, that's right, it's more than decades. And our response to of using the Shalosh Shavuot now is not because it's Agadah. It's because the Pasuk was Ad Shetechpatz. And we claim that Ad Shetechpatz, we reached the point that Ad Shetechpatz, you can't say anything more that it's not Ad Shetechpatz. But this is dealing with Agadah. And you can't deny the fact that this specific Gemara had a lot of influence on halakha, and you know, meta halakha, as we call it.
Okay. The question is, in your article on Mamar Hador of Rav Kook, you talk about the answers were not all from 1906. We need contemporary answers. And you're known in your writings for using, talking a lot about autonomy, individualism, even postmodernity. Do you want to make any comment on your gisha and its critics and those other topics?
The Rav Kook's idea was that if the secular group is asking good questions, it must affect us. You can't say they're full of sin, they're mazid, you know, mumarin, they're whatever. You must understand, Yetzer Hara still exists, don't worry. And it didn't disappear, and there's a lot of Yetzer Hara, and we all know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Yedim Ayu Yisrael Ba'egel, She'en Bo Mamash, Ve'lo Bikshu Yisrael La'avod Et Ha'egel, Ela Kedei She'atir Lahem Arayot. So we know that. But the Chiddush of Rav Kook was that it's also a result of the fact that the secular group don't find the answer to the real questions in Olam HaTorah. And the problem is not in the Torah. The problem is in Olam HaTorah. That's right. That's right. And the problem is the fact that we are not, first of all, we are not listening. We don't have any confidence that there are the real questions. And therefore, we are stuck with things that we must admit we ourselves have problem with them, but we are, you know, shoveling it somewhere. But the fact that the majority of the Am Yisrael is not connected to Torah must have effect on Lomdei Torah. Now, the situation today, that if I'm asking why people feel that they're anti-Torah, first of all, most of them are not. But they feel that the Torah, now, 150 years ago, they had theological questions like Darwin, you know, the evolution, and they had the Bikoret HaMikra, etc. These are not the constant questions. In Israel, at least, I think the main thing is that people feel that Torah is not moral. That's the question. It's not moral. It's not moral attitude towards women. It's not moral attitude towards sexuality. It's not moral towards the Palestinians. It's not moral towards the budget, etc., etc., etc. And I, first of all, feel that part of it is Yetzer Hara. Let's not exaggerate, right? But we have to get the answers. And once we have the answers, first of all, we do the right things, because we must connect Torah and morality. And it's Chilul Hashem to say that morality and Torah is completely different, but we have to check what is morality and if it's the nature morality or Christian morality, etc. But we have to deal with this question. I'll give you an example. You know, I'm one of the editors of the Tzohar. Tzohar is a group of rabbis that have a journal like tradition, right? So someone, we spoke about MP3, one rabbi asked a question, if you are, you know, Napster, you know, you're familiar with Napster, is it right to copy all kinds of files from then Napster Zichrona Livracha, as we say, and so one rabbi wrote a very big article and said it's permitted. So another, someone responded and said, listen, maybe I'm not getting in the aloha and I have svaras, different svaras, but that's not my claim. It's not moral. So the rabbi responded, the author responded, you can't say it's not moral. If it's according to aloha, it's, you know, it's capable, so you can't write it's not moral. And I think it's, first of all, it's against Ramban, Afluvasita Yashar Ve'atov. It's against all many sources. It's against a lot of Agadah sources. Like, you know, the Halacha says you are not permitted to Lashiv Aveda to a Goy. Lo Yoveh Hashem Tzloach Lo. This is the phrase. Lo Yoveh Hashem Tzloach Lo. Lemi Shemachzir Aveda Le Goy. But the Shulchan Aruch says that if Kiddush Hashem will go out of it, so you're permitted to do it. So I'm giving this as an example that we have to find a way to bridge between Torah and morality, and it will be. I'm not talking about, you know, a trick. I'm not talking about advertising the Torah. Rav Kook claimed that if these are the problems, so it's first of all in need of the commentators of the Torah Atzma, of Talmidei Chachamim, because it's a sign that something should be explained, or something should be import into the halacha, and then it will have also an effect on the dough.
Okay. My final question before I open it up to them is, what is the role of mechkar, or the use of mechkar in your Beit Midrash, and specifically the fact that, or open close, and the fact that you seem as much as always debating whether it's Avi Sagi or David Hartman, you're always willing to enter into that debate. Any comment on your relationship to the world of the academy and
Mechkar? I'm not the person to ask them this question. In my best interest, there's no Mechkar. That's right. The truth. But, I had, you know, there was a big, big struggle in Israel, Revadim.
Right.
And Rabbi, what's his name, from Elkanah? He's American.
Pinchas Simon.
And he taught in my yeshiva. I wanted him to teach for 2 hours a week. I want my students to know that there is mechkar. There is mechkar. I don't want them to be blind. Sometimes they say, sure, listen, this question, if you want to know this answer, go to a university. It's legitimate. It's not outdoors. I don't teach that because I'm not interested in it. And I think in the Beis Midrash, it's more important to, let's say, not to search what was the sources, but what is the process of Rishonim and Achronim. That's what I'm teaching. But I want my students to know there is something like that, and I want them to be aware that sometimes if they are interested of dealing with Mechkar, they better go to university because I can't teach them. And I think it's very important for us as rabbis that we are not permitted to make our students blind. We're not permitted. I don't know who gave us the permission. We can say this is there is mihkar. I'll bring someone that will teach, and now it was that you'll know what are the questions that mihkar are dealing in, what the answers you can get. I'm not going to teach in this yeshiva because I think I choose to study the chelek acher b'Torah, and the most important thing according to my view, so I'm not teaching it. It's different when we talk about Tanakh. No, it's not different. Also about Tanakh. If you talk about Mechkar Tanakh, like Bikorot HaMikra, I don't teach it at all. Even though I want my students to know the questions, because they're really great questions. Really, really, really great. Like, let's take a pasuk in Parshat Vayishlach. Ve'ele ha-melachim asher malchu be'edom, in Bereshit, lifnei melech livnei Yisrael. When such a pasuk can be read, it's a great question, and every all the Rishonim deal with this pasuk. I want my students to know this question. I'm not going to teach them a word from Bikorot HaMikra, but I don't want them to be blind. I'm not a professional, professional to answer these questions, but I think even 20, 30 years ago, there were two kinds of shaylos. First kind was the woman that bought a chicken in the shaykhet, and the kurkevan was bleeding, I don't know, whatever, and she went to ask. So these are common questions, and then the rab was available, and this was his job. But principal questions were asked only by Talmidei Chachamim or by local rabbis. Today, people got much more knowledge. We have in our congregation a few Bachurei Yeshivot that came back from the Yeshivot, and part of the Kehila, it's new. We have girls that studied for a year or 2 years. They are not, I can't say, they're not close to be Talmidei Chachamim. Really, not because they're females, because in 2 years you can't become to be a Talmid Chacham. But you can understand literature, you can understand the principle, and they ask good questions because they don't have all... We were destroyed, A boy that studies Gemara from when he's young, he sometimes feels that Gemara can cheat, that the tshuva doesn't have to be such a great tshuva. You get used to limroach, as we say. Girls, when they start to study Gemara at the age of 18, you can't cheat them. You can't. If an answer is not an answer, so they say it's not an answer. And not that there's a marsha and maram that, is pressing, and then somehow it can be a tshuva. So therefore, this is our new audience. This is our new audience, and we must understand it. And the girls, I think, we still don't understand. We are, all the conversation, even in the Orthodox Forum, was about feminism, about, these are not the questions. Feminism, there's a few 5% extreme feminist women. All right, that's one issue. But there are large amount of girls that they know something. And when the audience knows something, that is the worst position for worst. I don't know if it's worse. It's not bad. It's the difficult. It's not bad. It's the difficult position of the rabbi, because they know how to ask. They know how to read if the answer is reasonable. They can't give the answer, but they know how to read if the answer is reasonable. And I think we are so focused about the 5% of feminists that we didn't understand yet what that 95% of Banot that went for 1 year in Migdal Oz or 1 year in Lindenbaum or 1 year whatever will have the effect that will have about the rabbi working in the congregation or virtual shoot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My rather than Do you feel there's less of a hierarchy of that stock, and you feel that if I don't like your stock, I can go to a body website, so then you
decentralize
that
stock? There is the decentralized. I said it before, and we must admit this. This is the situation. It has advantage. It has disadvantages. I can't say. I'm too much inside. I don't have a focus from the outside. But I can say one thing, and we spoke about it on the way here. And I said it also on the auto-forum. There is a very, very large gap between what Rabbanim advertise publicly and write in their books and private answers they give. The gap is some kind of gap is very good. The gap is too wide. And I said it, when I need a psak, a very, very kula, I call the extreme Haredi rabbi. I know I'll get the kula from him because he's used it. You know, officially and publicly, he says very, very extreme words, but he feels a balabait on halakha, and when I need a great kula, I'll call him, all right? Now, I think this situation cannot exist anymore, all right? Cannot. And the internet is a bridge, because from the one hand, it's a private tshuva, all right? So therefore, there's a lot of kulot, all right? But on the other hand, it's publicly advertised. So it is written with a very high level of responsibility because I understand that people can use this tshuva in order to, etc. All right? So I feel that the decentralized is a negative thing in the beginning, but will build a bridge between the declaration and the lemaise halacha, and that's a good process because the halacha is becoming the declared halacha is becoming too machmir. It's not halacha for bale batim, it's halacha for talmidei chachamim, for bachurei yeshivot, and the halacha is becoming impossible for people to keep. And halacha, and the Rav wrote about it so much, halacha must be democratic from this point of view. It must be halacha to klal Israel. And I think the internet will have a lot of influence, good influence, that the halacha will be to klal Israel. Because when I pass it to myself, or to my family, or even to my yeshiva, I'm much more extreme, all right? And I'm much more machmir, but when I write in my books, depends. If it's it's not right. It will be wrong to say that I'm a mekel in my books. I would say the following: there are a few things that I'm very mekeling, if there's such a verb, mekeling, and there are a few things that I think we should be very, very machmir, very, very machmir.
Such as,
I'll give two examples. First of all, money. Money and all kinds of dinei mamonot, we should be machmir. And the second thing is lashon hara, we should be machmir. And I'll give you a nice. I have to go back. If you had asked me what is the nicest sheila that I have that I got, and I think it's my best answer was the following: we are two neighbors that once a week sit together on a cup of coffee. She is telling me her tzoras with her husband and children. I speak about my tzoras. Everybody, we advise. I hear her advice. We go home. We have, you know, the stone that was sitting on our heart. Is it permitted according to Dinei Lashon Hara? Because I'm speaking about my husband and she's speaking about her husband and etc. And this is a kind of question that I don't know exactly what is machmir here. Because a machmir can be here, sit down and talk. It's the best thing for Shalom Bayit. And a machmir can be, it's Lashon Hara, talk about the weather. It's you understand? So I don't want to divide the tshuvot between Kula and Chumra before we decide what is lachmir and what is lehakel. But I can say that the halacha must be available for klal Israel. And especially in Israel, every psak that I write, I must I hope I'm saying the right thing, but I really think, can it be a psak for 6 million Jews and the entire, not 6 million, 4.5 million Jews in Israel at least, Yehudim in Israel, and can everybody keep this halacha? If not, it's not available. It's not a right halacha.
And what's the role of, say, sociology and psychology and that sort of the more shikulim of empirical data and those sort of stuff?
Okay, that's a lecture. It's not, you know, it's not a comment. I can say one thing that it's in according to Gemara, it certainly is. There is shata d'chak. There is mushtav yushogegim b'al yom ezedim. There is chalel alav shabbat achat b'shvil shichalel. There is enough instruments that we can use. Okay, I it's a very good question. I'm trying to avoid the damage that such a position can cause in two ways. The first way, always when I write, there is a norm and there is a higher level, I emphasize the price of the higher level. I'll give you an example. In Israel, there's a new mishigas. I'm not sure it's mishigas. You know it much better. The people don't trust the eruv anymore. And I write...
It's an old one here.
What?
It's an old one here.
Yeah, I know, no. But I write, everyone that asks me, I write, my psak is only after you're married and you have a child. Feel, first of all, what is the meaning, not leaving your wife and the child at home, all right? And if she agrees, maybe you can be a machmir, all right? But you can't be a machmir. Don't start today when you're 18 years old, because someone else will pay the price. That's an example of explaining that our prices, not only practical prices, also halacha prices. Because usually when you are machmir, let's say in this example, you may be machmir in Eiruv, but in Mekel Gadol be'onek Shabbat. And this is one... So I'm explaining that there is a price of being machmir, and that's a very powerful instrument to avoid some of the damage. The second thing is the music. I don't write, there is halacha, but if you want to be first class, do that. I'm writing the opposite. I'm writing it different. The halacha and the base of halacha and the ideas of halacha, there are some people that decided privately, and if you want to be a machmir, you can, but you better, and that's, you can read it all over, you better, if you search about where to be a machmir, I'll give you better places. And I do and do that, but you must admit, and we spoke about it also in the Orthodox form, you must admit that in Shulchan Aruch you find lechatchila and bediavad, you find these bishat adchak, you find these terms, and you can't be against the tradition, and the tradition gave a lot of confidence and said, listen, there are two norms, and you know, there's a very famous article years ago Chaim Soloveitchik wrote about in tradition, about what happened to us. Everybody knows it probably here. But he's right. He is really, really right. The fact, you know, when I got my smicha, I came to my mother and I said, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do that. So she told me, you'll be matrif all my kitchen with your Shulchan Aruch. You understand? So that's lechumra. But if... if we had studied halacha from our grandmother. All right, last question because I have matzo.
Okay,
I don't want to miss my flight.
Okay.
If you publish your online,
mm-hmm.
and they come in volumes, it's 2 out so far, a third one.
The price is.
don't you lose some of the point about the private?
I do. I do. But I'm patient, because this question will come from someone else that was lazy to search and to find the answer, and I'll know from the other websites that people use this halacha, and I'll use the situation and the opportunity to write it. I'm aware of it, but a poisek must understand that it's better to work in a long distance a target and write the right things than to be machmir frightened that he'll be understood, right? And I think that it's a better way. So I'm patient. So some people will use a few kulot, and usually they're not the writer. Don't forget that to violate the raisa, you have to be great Talmid Chacham, you know. So it's better to do it that way.
Gabriel, final question.
I'm interested in the implications of now what's essentially a global tequila. Do you find yourself bringing down the barriers, bringing down some of the binaries that we created, whether it's secular religion or Sephardic Ashkenazic?
Yes, definitely.
What happens in these categories?
I'll say the following. First of all, I'm trying. It's not directly to your question. As a joke, I call myself I'm the Mara de Atra. Atra is a website, you know. So I'm doing the opposite. I'm doing the opposite. Usually, when I get a question from a Yeshiva high school student, I'm writing the poisek is the Mara de Atra. You should ask your Rosh Yeshiva. I don't want to break the congregations. And I want to be a global rabbi to people that don't have where to go. There's nothing more important than Marat Atra. When I was a very low-level officer in the army in my beginning, the chief rabbi visited my unit. I don't know why. And I asked him, be poisek here, and he told me he was a general, and I was a staff surgeon, how do you say? Less than a surgeon. I don't know. So I asked him, and he said, you are the poisek. He said to me, I studied in Shiva for half a year only. So I said, well, poisek, it's a joke. He said, there's nothing better than Mara de Atra. You understand the situation, you understand the problems, you understand. So I don't want to do that. But globally, we are going to break some of the things, but not breaking, trying to combine. I'll tell you because of two reasons. The first reason is there are a lot of mixed couples. A lot of mixed. Now, Pesach is coming. My brother is married to someone from Beirut. Libyan? Not Libyan. Lebanese girl. Girl, she's a grandmother. All right? And he asked me 25 years ago if he can go to the Seder to his father-in-law. All right? And that's, you can't say kitniot because it's a destruction of Shalom Bayit completely. You can't find yourself in a situation that then you can't come to the Pesach to your parents, to your wife's parents. All right, so these are things that are going to build differently. And secondly, really, at least in the Zionist religious movement, the question, what edad do you come from, is less important. And it's good, you know, Israel has 4 big gaps: Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Datim, Chiloniim, right and wing, Yemanim, Smalim, and Yehudim, the Arabim. And I think the gap between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim in the Orthodox and the Haredi is getting wider, but in our communities are getting really without any meaning, and that's good. That's good. It's one of the good things that are happening in our communities. So therefore, I think things will break. But you can add it as a distraction. The right thing will be trying to build something from the two kinds. I'll give you a very good example. Most of the couples in Israel, even both Ashkenazi, don't make any more ufo, a Shabbos before the wedding. All of them are making Shabbos Sheva Brachot, like that Sfaradim, going together, the two families. And this is one of the influence of Sfaradim on Ashkenazim. Most of the Minyonim have two kinds of Nigunim, and etc. And Ma'yeshiva, some, and even on Yamim Noraim, even though most of the students are Ashkenazim, there are a minority of Sfaradim, so therefore we put some piyutim here and there, and we're trying to do...
Why do you get less Sfaradim to your yeshiva?
It's a question, I don't know exactly. It's not only to our yeshiva, it's a great question, but it's really something I can't explain. The fact that all the Rosh Yeshivot, every single one is Ashkenazi of the Hezda Yeshivot. I can't understand. Now the Gush was, Rav Gigi was, is my, Chaim Sabato is not a Rosh Yeshiva, but I can't explain it, but it's a really different issue.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, can everyone sit down a second? If anyone wants to ask, is Shoot or Rashid HaYachid Rashid HaRabim, and I don't know what the third volume that's Omri the Hofia is going to be called. The Machshava questions I was asking him were all from his basic thing about needing individuality, eclecticism, and combining halacha and machshava called Torah and Eretz Israel. It is no longer available, or at least it hasn't been a while. It's sold out, so please don't recall my copy. That's fine. His views on machshava are in two volumes. One is Eretz Tichli Le'olam on Harav Kook, and the other one is on Harav Soloveitchik. He's written on both of them. Oh, okay. Thank you. This one, Bein Mishkan Le'Egel, is him dealing with the tensions between being creative, change, reform, and up-to-date in the world versus following some sort of tradition, Mesorah, Mesoret, and Halacha. And he's much more, as he says, much more of an igul of rather than saying, here are hard lines between the Mesorah and reform, it's much more of a process. Yes? He's criticized from coming out originally from Rav Tal, from Har HaMor. You can go in Akdamot and you'll get publishers of his responses to their criticisms. Okay? We'll deal with it more when we deal with the Tatim HaChadashim, but any other specific questions for right now? That I was trying to push you in for you.
The question I was going to ask you answered
specifically. Okay, but I got a lot of the points I did get out in the questions. Yeah.
I wanted to ask him what was his position on personal stock versus looking things up at the Sfar. He seemed to favor asking questions because of a great familiarity with the question.
Okay, in this he once again sees it as a tension. Both he and Rav Aviner, who's not the Datsiyim Chadashim, but from the solidly Merkaz world, says today everything is published with Svarim, and you can open up Svarim. The first volume of Rav Aviner's 10-volume Tshuvot says things are now written in Svarim. Basic answers are not a psak anymore. Most of what Piskei Halacha today is applying a book knowledge. In that, he and Rav Aviner are in agreement. Rav Gilad has a paper saying the same point, but at the same time, they really care about what's v'shetach, what's in the real world, and the shikul hadat, and it's not just mechanically, because there's a whole emphasis not to be yotzei zayin in a mechanical way, but to actually make it something living, something actual, and that does take the guidance of the rabbi, the rav, the leader, even if it's a more virtual community.
So then a person, if a person has the books, should they go to the books or should they ask the person?
Well, it depends.
If I could somehow create a situation such that it would be equal, there's an equal amount of knowledge on both the person, both of these books.
Because
at least something inherently better with the book, inherently better with the person.
Yeah, they're both, because you're already, you're already coming from your perspective as if it's a book knowledge to start with. It's today, most questions in Shabbat, Kashrut, are book knowledge for him. But at the same time, how to apply it in the real world, how to make it applicable for all Klal Yisrael, for all the Dati community, that takes the Shikul Hadat, and that's the question of knowing where you fall in the spectrum of the Shikul Hadat.
So you're saying that
it's not a question
of the questions are being hashed over, it's simply repeating arguments that are already been reduced to writing, and therefore say that it's not really stopped. Nevertheless, to apply the actual halakha takes ingenuity because
The example that they give would be, like, think of a physician. Sometimes you refer to a specialist, but it's not that all questions go to the specialist of the doctor. It sometimes takes the one person who's sitting there, right there, and knows the patient, and knows their eating habits, and knows what their general health condition, to actually apply it. So it's not book knowledge versus book knowledge in a person, which is much more of a centrist way, you know, whoever's the key is us. That's not the model here.
There's living Torah knowledge and
completely
Torah knowledge.
And he's going to call it Nevu'i, Agada, Tanachi, and he'll have essays saying it needs that living element. Yes?
The circle metaphor, where does that come from? We don't have Ramesh. He could have said fuzzy, and I want to know where he's coming from, but he's saying circle.
Yeah.
Who is he getting at?
Where is it? I'm not sure.
Someone must have said something in some novel.
No, somebody. I don't know where, but it's certainly an inclusive. I think it's probably Rav Nachman. If I assume it's Rav Nachman, whatever is it, number six or something, and whatever. Now, Kuzi Maharal, when it says the inclusive circle, he's very much influenced as he opens up one of his essays. We need both. Chaim of Brisk and Harav and Rav Nachman of Breslov, which is a formulation, you know, that really, you know, gets his point across. Yes. But those days, that is why you subscribe to Amudim, Deot, Sohar, Dimoy, and Akdamot. And all of you should read regularly. And like I said, we can go in when we deal with the documents, I'll deal more with them, but know that the answers are all in print in Sohar, Achamot, Dimoy, Deot, and Amudim. Yes?
Do you by any chance know what he's telling his students today about, like, confusing orders and stuff like that? And how he's responding to that?
He was on Haaretz. He writes very well, and that's one of his qualities. And he said that one must follow orders. He's not greater Israel, does not take precedent over peace. He is the one who organized last Tisha B'Av's, spending Tisha B'Av to protest for social justice in, what's the kikar in front of the Nemshalah? Yerushalayim, the new kikar. There was a big rally there, and he got Lichtenstein of Amital and everyone to protest, because what we really should be protesting on Tisha B'Av is the fact that Israel is one of the white slavery leaders in the world, and those issues, and he'll put that right out there up front as things that need to be dealt with.
That's
correct. Yeah.
He told us 6 years on how, like, he doesn't want his students to be blind to certain issues. So, like, is there a type of joint effort?
I couldn't get push him on that one. The point is, he doesn't want blind. He doesn't do mechkar. He studied under Rav Shapira and Rav Lichtenstein. He does lumdus. They are not as happy in the fact that he does. We'll bring in Rav Nachman and Tanakh. You know, let me just finish. Tanakh. However, he will bring in mechkar haTalmud. He will bring in history and separate people for those things and let them teach in the yeshiva. He will let them play a role within the formation of his students, psychology, sociology, history, philosophy. It is not his tchum. And beyond that, and that's what I couldn't get him to really answer, he usually takes the side to defend the Rosh Yeshiva versus the academic. But at the same time, he's always willing to be on the panel to say what are the pros and cons between the academic versus the Rosh Yeshiva panel. So he's going to play himself in front of the yeshiva. Let's bring in Avi Sagi from Bar Ilan and debate, do we get more from the philosopher or do we get more from the Rosh Yeshiva? He'll bring in David Hartman. Like, he'll play, he himself will only be the Ram, but he's going to enter into that dialogue. And if you read what he writes, he's going to say, hard line, the Rosh Yeshiva knows everything, has all the knowledge, and has the real position. But at the same time, he's part of these public forums for his students. And it frames the question, and with his students, he wants them to, as he says, to stand on their own two feet. You know, and both sides take their extremes.
But is he taking an effort to expose these things to the rest of the Hezer world?
No, his yeshiva is one of the new ones. You know, the Petah Tikva, Niel, Maale Gilboa, this new generation of Hezer yeshiva that are.
And he has a relation. Like, what's his relationship to the rest of Hezer?
What is his relationship? He is one of the major ideologues of the new Hezder Yeshivot. There are fault lines between some of the more, his biggest opposite side is more the Tzvi Yehuda influenced hard line in Israel side, and he emphasizes more autonomy and individuality over statehood. Okay, any other? What this? Okay. At points it is. But that's a novelty for Israeli society. We've come through modern orthodoxy in which our rabbanim are handholders and counselors and pastors. Israel's never had that. Israel's only had a rabbanut that's been very cut and dry, very formal. And he's really going to create a bunch of rabbanim that are going to go out to kihilot and actually deal with people. So the quality, meaning of this psak, the answer is some of it, at his best it reaches psak, but the rest of it is much more the things we take for granted in a pulpit rabbi. But once, as he puts it, once it's on the internet, it has a new effect. If you had every single statement that was said by Rabbis Lamb, Wartzberger, and Roth as pulpit rabbis, that would be a fascinating read to read all their psak for all those decades. But here in the internet world, we immediately have going from zero to everything at one fell swoop. He's not the only one on this website who answers questions. He gets a certain type of question. A lot of the more basic, how do you deal with the Rabbanut, Seth Farber from YU answers. I mean, there's a whole series of Rabbanim for those who don't keep up on the website. Different types of questions get addressed to a certain different direction. Questions of sexuality, he usually is the one to field. And the fact that he gets up there and says, be normal, is a big innovation for Rami. Okay. Yes.
Zagi said that when he comes, here at Stock Rock by Israel, everybody keeps talking about it, not that he wouldn't publish it. Would you see that as more lowering the bar with Halakha?
It's a much more Israeli Rabbi Cook way. Right. We're going to see it in all, almost all forms of religious Zionism in Israel.
Yeah. He has actually called some sort of a cook there. In other words, most Jews don't keep a lot of all, at least not the purpose.
Most are Masoretim in his view.
I assume that there are some sort of, that they're Dutchmen that morning.
He's not kind of sentimental.
He could keep it. This is something they could.
It's got to be relevant for their lives, and his goal is to try to make it relevant. You can email him. I would close with the fact that if you want to ask him any questions, you can email him. He has a continuous DSL line. He gets back to me, even arranged it for this class. He gets back to me, and we can go back and forth on the computer several times. So if you want to ask him any questions, he will answer them. And thank you.